The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Well, we've been on a journey together since the first of the year, from time to time, just talking about what it means to live from our spirit. We are spirit, soul, and body. We are at the very forefront, and more than anything else, the spirit. That is a part of us that will live forever. And we have a body, and we're in a body, and we have a soul. And one of the keys to life is to learn how to live from your spirit. The Lord spoke this to me. We must be a person of the spirit in order to become a person of the spirit. We must become a person of the Spirit, small s, if we're ever going to become a person of the Spirit, capital S. If you and I, as individual members, are ever to become a person who is moved by God's Spirit, touched by God's Spirit, we must be aware of our spirit. In fact, it is silly to think that we can encounter God through any other way but through our spirit. Now, other parts of our being are impacted, but we do need to understand that it does come through our spirit. Can we put that verse up there out of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4? You don't need to turn there. This is just our umbrella verse that we have been kind of ministering under for the... Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame and do not... Verse 4, 16 and 17? 16 through 18? Chapter 4, 16 through 18? Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. We've been ministering under that reality. There is an outward man and there is an inward man. And this, the key to growing in God and knowing God is to beware of the outward man. The inward man will be impacted, but he will not be impacted through any other way but the inward man. It is the spirit man. It is who you are as a spirit. That's the real you, by the way. We're all different shapes and sizes. We're well aware of that. But there's a uniqueness to who we are in our spirit, too. In fact, I strongly believe that when we get to heaven, we will know each other, and it won't be because of our crooked nose or our big ears or our lack of hair or whatever attribute that seems to stand out to people. No, it'll be who we are in the spirit. In fact, Paul writes and said, from now on, we know no man after the flesh. We even knew Jesus at one time after the flesh, but we know him no longer in that manner. Why? Because we get to know one another after the spirit. Have you ever met someone or seen someone and said, wow, she has a sweet spirit, or he has a gentle spirit, or, you know, and you connect spirit to spirit in reality. Some of you find that when you get around people, they weary you and wear you out. That's because they pull on your soul instead of your spirit. The Word of God comes to bring a division between soul and spirit. It is possible to be in a place where our spirit and our soul are almost inseparable. They need to be separated. If our spirit and soul are never separated, then anytime there's any spiritual activity, it can immediately become soulish. And the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And one of the purposes of the Word of God is to bring a division between our soul and our spirit. Now, hear me. Thank God for your soul. And thank God for your body. Neither one are evil.
That's right.
They have the potential to be, but but they also have the potential to be righteous and to be pure and to be holy. And that holiness and that purity comes from the inside out. One of the most awesome lessons that we can learn about serving God is that we cannot change ourselves. Amen. That's why we needed a Savior. And we didn't just need a Savior whatever number of years ago it was that we invited Jesus Christ into our lives. We need Him today because He's continuing to change us from glory to glory and from faith to faith, and on we go. So we must become a person of the Spirit, small s, in order to grow and become a person of the Spirit, capital S. Turn with me in your Bible. Let's finish. Do we project the rest of those verses out of 2 Corinthians? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more and exceeding weight of glory. Amen. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. To be a person of the Spirit, even our own spirit, we must have a confidence that we've got one. We must have a confidence that there is an inward man. And many times in the presence, even earlier this morning as we were in His presence, there often becomes an awareness that God is in the room and that there's something special and there's a special presence and there's a softness. You can name it all kinds, but there's an awareness, and it's our inward man that often senses that. But it doesn't take long for our outward man to be impacted by that. So He says to look at the unseen things, which seems silly. How do you look at something unseen? Well, it's in the Spirit. And that isn't Twilight Zone stuff. You look with the eyes of your heart, you look with the eyes of faith, but you become aware that there is something more relevant than the temporal things that we see. That's why even as we were ministering out of worship this morning, it is so important that we let go of the things that we can see so that we can get a hold of the things that we can't see. And many times the thing that keeps us from getting hold of the things that we desire, the things that can only come from God, the things that we can't see, the thing that keeps us from getting a hold of them is our hands is full of stuff we can't see. We can see. It is important to be able to let go. What's the old saying? Let go and let God. So we purpose to be a people who are aware of our inward man and take special effort to care for and to feed our inward man, recognizing that it is the part of us that is connecting us with God, and it is the part of us that is bringing any change. And I realize some of you don't need to change, but I do. And my only hope for being changed into the man of God that I'm becoming. Whoa, look, jewels. Wow. So? The only hope that you and I have of becoming the person that we desire to become is to connect with the master change artist, Jesus. Turn with me in your Bibles. There's just one little verse I want us to read and to get and become aware of. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, excuse me. Now, Paul, in this little portion of his letter to the Corinthians, is talking about purity, sexual purity, and the purity of the body. And he makes the statement that he who is joined to a harlot is joined in one flesh. But then in verse 17, and I'm not going to minister along about that, even though that is very important. about purity and about holiness and about, because our body, I guess I am, because our body is the container that carries our spirit and our soul. And it is very important that we are aware of the holiness of the body, but understand, see, as soon as we say that, and if I were to read this whole portion, I know what would happen. Condemnation would immediately begin to fill the room for some people. And we're not going there. Because if we can understand what we're going to preach, we will recognize that that is insignificant and can be changed by the reality of an indwelling presence of Jesus Christ. And so any struggles that we have with purity of the body is not overcome by trying harder, jumping higher, running faster. It comes from the inside out. It comes because, verse 17, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. You and I, he who is joined to the Lord, are one spirit with him. It's important that we understand that. When we talk about growing in our ability to live out of our spirit, when we talk about focusing on the inward man, you cannot focus on the inward man without focusing on Jesus. He is the door. He said he was. He is the door into everything that God has to offer to you and I. It cannot come through a focus on angels, even though angelic activity may be the fruit of it. It cannot come by a focus on the Holy Spirit, even though the Holy Spirit will administrate it. The focus is Jesus. He is the door. He said, no man comes to the Father but through me. And he talked many. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is. And it is important for us to recognize the importance of Jesus. And you might immediately say, well, excuse me, Pastor Bob, but I think everybody in this room is saved. I know that. I hope that. I'm not talking about a first time coming to Jesus. That is important. But there must be an awareness that it pleased God that in that Jesus all fullness should dwell. We must understand that he is the fullness. This Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. We must understand that God has purposed that this Jesus that we're talking about this morning has the preeminence. There's great danger in trying to connect with God apart from Jesus. Well, what about connecting with God the Father? Oh, that's very important, very precious. But it's Jesus that brings me to him and him to me. Jesus said to Philip, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. But you cannot see the Father. That's the end of the quote. Now, me speaking, I say that you cannot see the Father till you've seen Jesus. He's the exact representation. He is the radiance of the Father. He's the mirror image of the Father. And he is the way. Why? Because it is Jesus who is one with my spirit. And I know there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I'm not drawing a distinction, but I am. There is only one name by which men must be saved, and that is Jesus, the name of Jesus Christ. And so he comes. It's him that lives on the inside of us. And I know and the Father's with him. You can't get Jesus without the Father. But at the forefront of who God is for you and I as human beings is the door of Jesus. And when we get him, we get everything that he is. He is our focus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Paul's exhortation in Colossians is, or maybe it's Philippians. Paul's exhortation somewhere is to set our affection on things above rather than things below, where our life is hid with Christ in God. If you're here this morning and there's an area of your life that you are struggling to get victory in, I tell you and encourage you that your focal point must be Jesus. And he will lead you to wherever you need to go. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. For of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. It's important that we understand when we're talking about God and when we're talking about Jesus, that he is not like a FedEx driver who delivers things that we ask of him, and that he brings it and drops us whatever it is at our door. He doesn't give us wisdom. He becomes our wisdom. He doesn't give us righteous or make us righteous. He becomes our righteousness. Why? Because to be joined with the Lord is to make us one spirit with him. We are one spirit, you and Jesus. Amazing thing. He doesn't give us sanctification. He doesn't sanctify us. He becomes our sanctification. He doesn't redeem us. He becomes our redemption. And you can fill in the blank. What is your need? He doesn't deliver us. He becomes our deliverance. He doesn't heal us. He becomes our healing. He becomes it on the inside of us. Why? Because we're joined, one spirit. And so whatever we need from God, we need to understand it comes through the person of Jesus manifest in my being, in your being. And he doesn't deliver something that's separate from him, the fruit of the Spirit. He doesn't give you love, he becomes your love. He doesn't give you joy, he becomes your joy. And here's the amazing thing. He gives it to you and then he calls it yours. Because why? Because we're one. And because he couldn't have done it had he not had your spirit, small s, to bring his spirit, capital S, through to bring it into manifestation. So he says it's yours. So he says, he says to the disciples in John chapter 14, my joy I give to you that your joy may be full. I thought we were talking about your joy, Jesus. We were, but now we're talking about your joy, disciple.
Yeah.
Because my joy has become your joy, and because we're one, now it's yours. Do you remember when the disciples, John chapter 21, the disciples are fishing. Jesus has been gone for a while. He was crucified and all of that. He's been gone for a while, and they're fished all. As kids sang songs about it, fished all night and caught no fishes. They fished all night and caught no fishes. Well, it was something like that. And so he says from shore, this Jesus says from shore, have you anything to eat? And they say, no. They said, we've fished all night and caught no fishes. Something like that. And he says, throw your net on the other side of the boat, on the right side of the boat. Which proves to us that Jesus is right. And you know the story. Their nets fill up. They bring in a huge catch. And then it's time to have lunch. And then he says to them, go get a few of the fish that you caught. Really? They caught? Where'd they get those fish? But that's the way he is. That which is his becomes yours. Why? Because we're joined one in the Spirit. And in reality, he couldn't have brought, well, he could have, but he did not bring that large catch of fish to shore without them so that they could share in it. So now it's their fish, not his. The fruit of the Spirit. It's your fruit. Not his, but don't forget where you got it. So it is your love, but it's only because it's his love manifest through your spirit. It is your joy, but it's his joy manifest through your spirit. So now it's yours. It's his peace. He's the Prince of Peace. You, not so much. Me, not so much. Don't believe it? Ask my wife. But I'm becoming more peaceful all the time. But it's not my peace, it's his peace. But because we're joined, it's my peace. So it is with faith. It's not our faith. If you're here this morning and you're impressed with your faith, just don't forget where you got it. It is your faith, but don't forget where you got it. It either came to you through a fruit of the Spirit, capital S, or a gift of the Spirit, capital S. And so it is with all the fruit of the Spirit. So it is with the gifts. Thank God for that. We applauded the worship team this morning. Why? Because of their gift. Who? There. Oh, Debbie and... You know, Jim, Josiah and Vanessa and Dan. See, I know. But I had to get in my head and out of my heart to pull those up because those names aren't in my heart yet. They are too. Ben. Where you been, Ben? And those gifts we celebrated, those are their gifts, but where'd they get them? One of the most... We know from the Bible that one of the most, that pride is not good. But for you and I as believers, one of the most damning areas of pride is spiritual pride. In fact, it was that caused Jesus to be like a bulldog toward the scribes and the Pharisees because of spiritual pride and spiritual arrogance. We must be constantly aware of that which Paul was constantly aware of, and that is that I am what I am by the grace of God. Now, we are what we are, and thank God for what we are, but we are what we are by the grace of God. And if there's anything that we are that is not by the grace of God, it may not be as significant as we think it is. It is that which God has breathed on in our lives. It is that which God has developed in our lives, His Spirit joined with our spirit, that makes us fruitful for Him. It's dangerous to have a great hunger for God and to assume that it came from us. It's dangerous to have a great hunger for God and judge those who don't have it as if it is of ourselves. It is dangerous to have a great faith and to assume that it came from ourselves, even though it is ours, but we must always remember where we got it. And so it is with every attribute of any significance that you and I carry. It comes by the grace of God. That's why the verse we read said, "Let him who glory, glory in the Lord." So we can applaud the worship team and honor them, but we don't glorify them. We can honor and applaud one another and encourage one another, but we don't glorify one another because we recognize we are what we are by the grace of God. Paul wrote in one place, and he said, "I'm concerned. That you might be drawn away from the simplicity that is in Christ." I believe there's a desire on God's heart in this day to have an intimacy with you and I. I know that to be true, and I believe he wants us to understand that it begins with Jesus, the person of Jesus. I remember shortly after we got saved, we were a mess. And we needed a Savior, and I was frustrated because every area of my life needed fixing, and so I'd focus on one area, Tom, and then another area would crop up. In fact, I've explained it this way. For those of you who have ever been to a carnival, and there's the whack-a-mole, or those heads that pop up. And I don't know if any, I know I've told this story here over the last few years. But that's the way I felt. And so that's the best way to, you know, I just felt like, so I'd focus on this head and get it down, but then one would pop up over here. How many of you have ever seen that game? You know, probably about that wide. So you, and that's how I felt spiritually until one day I was sitting, and if I was in our home, which is no longer there, up in northern Minnesota, but if it was there, I could take you right to the spot. Have you ever noticed when you have an encounter with God, you remember every detail? What's it got to do with anything? It was precious. But I was reading in Colossians, and I came across Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, "And it pleased God that in Jesus Christ all fullness should dwell." And his presence flooded me. And I realized something, that there was only one head that I had to focus on, and that was him. And that as I focused on him, he would gain the preeminence in my life that was his. And all the other stuff would take care of itself. And it did, and it still is. We never arrive. If we ever get to the place in God when we are not desiring him to continue to take us places and change us, and we're in a dangerous spot. There's a constant need for our Savior. But it pleases God, it pleases the Father, that Jesus would have the preeminence. We can talk about our Jesus in this way without one bit of worry of offending the Father. He's the one that gave him. We can talk about our Jesus without any hint of offending the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Holy Spirit's primary job is to make us to see and understand Jesus. Because he's the entry into it all. And I hope you don't misunderstand me this morning. I'm so thankful for God the Father, and I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. But I'm fully aware that it's Jesus that brings me into it. Over and over again. Initially in the very beginning, yes, but yesterday morning too. And tomorrow morning. He is the door. Forever He is the door. And He is the way. And He is the life. And He doesn't separate Himself from what He brings. He brings Himself. He cares enough to give the very best. And it's Him. I know I quote this verse often, especially lately, but it's been becoming so real to me when God says to Abraham, and Abraham is waiting for the fulfillment of a promise, and God says, Abraham, I am your exceeding and your great reward. And for you and I, this side of the covenant, this side of the cross, that I is Jesus. He is our exceeding and our great reward. And intimacy with Him will lead us into everything that God has. I want us to take some considerable time this morning to experience Him. He has made a promise to me that I am contending for, and that is that He wants to touch people in their seats. He wants to touch people in postures of rest, whatever that looks like for them. He wants to prove Himself. The phrase I keep hearing is He wants to move in this room from front to back and from left to right. Now, if He starts in the right and goes to the left, I'll be okay with that. That isn't about a formula, but it is about the whole room being filled with His presence. I have a certain grouping of people that have been on my heart over the last several weeks. I'm well aware that in a group of people this size, there may be some who have never felt and experienced God's presence. And for whatever reason, you've never been able to. You hear people talk about His presence, and you see people overwhelmed by His presence, and you've never been. And I believe that it's you of all people these are His tears, not mine. It's you of all people that He wants to show Himself to and prove Himself to without you jumping through any hoops. Why you've never experienced His presence is secondary to the fact that you will. There may be a lot of reasons. It may be emotional scarring. It may be wounds. It may be any number of things, but the Lord wants to break that off your life this morning, and He wants to do it
How do you want to do it, Lord?
He wants to do it without you coming to the front. He wants to do it for you right where you sit. He wants you to know. See, one of the things that we, spirit-filled or charismatic, whatever churches, have been accused of over the years is making experience with God important. So I just want to make it very clear this morning that experience with God is very, very important. Yes. The prayers of the Apostle Paul made it clear that he wanted them to know the love of God. A love that surpasses knowledge. Jesus wanted his disciples to experience his joy and his peace. It wasn't just a nice fluffy thing that he said when he said, "My peace I give to you." He wanted that peace to be received. He wanted that joy to be received. It's very possible that in the same way that you have trouble sensing the Lord's presence, you have trouble hearing his voice. He wants us to hear his voice. Those are all experiential, and I don't mean audibly. Very, 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 very few people have ever heard the audible voice of God. Some have, but that's not what it's about. But it is about an experience that is real. It's about the unseen things. It's about the things that can't be explained, because they're spiritual in nature, and the Bible uses all kinds of analogies to try to paint a picture of what it looks like. But the truth is, the voice of the Lord is an unheard voice, audibly, I mean, for the most part. And yet we hear it. The fragrance of the Lord is not a fragrance that can be smelled, but it can. His love is tangible and real, and it can be experienced. I believe the Lord would say to those who struggle to hear his voice that he is going to prove himself to you because of his love. He comes and he declares war against that which has hindered you from knowing God's love. He arises within you. He wants you to understand that that presence or that voice or that joy or that peace or that love begins on the inside of you and bubbles out. It doesn't come from the outside and work its way in. It's already in you, he says. And he declares an opening of your spirit. He declares an opening of your spirit, man, that you might be able to see in the spirit, that you might be able to feel in the spirit, that you might be able to smell in the spirit, that you might be able to hear in the spirit. There's an opening of the spirit, man, on the inside. He declares war this morning on everything that has wounded you and wounded your emotions and locked you up in the name of Jesus, that you might be a man, that you might be a woman who knows their God, who understands him, and who sees him. He wants you to understand that he's following you home. And if you've never been stalked, he says, get ready to be stalked, because he's serious about you. And he will come gently and he will come carefully, but he wants to invade your life with himself. All he asks is for an invitation.
All he asks is that you would desire him. I'm going to ask if everyone in the room, and for some, I don't want to single just certain people out, so I'm going to ask for everyone in the room if you would just repeat this little prayer after me. It's just a declaration that's an invitation, just so you know where we're headed before we go there. I'm not tricking anyone. I want us all just to invite Jesus to make himself real to us. So let's just all say this together. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, and we invite you to make yourself real on the inside of us. We thank you that our spirit is joined with your spirit, and we are one. I ask you to manifest in my being your love, your peace, and your joy. Amen. It really is that simple. John, could you put that verse up there out of Song of Solomon? Pastor Dave, by the way, for those of you who are visiting, this is Pastor Dave and his wife Susie. Pastor Dave just quoted this verse in prayer today, and I'd been sorting out. I knew we wanted to spend some time, and this is a good picture. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me is love. Sustain me with cakes of raisins, refresh me with apples, for I am lovesick. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand embraces me. Now, that's the Song of Solomon, which paints out of the Old Testament, which just paints a picture of the intimacy that God desires to have with his bride, you and I. I realize you might not even like raisins, but let's compare spiritual things to spiritual things. Let us just recognize that he delights in a closeness with us. And we're just going to, Jesse, could you put some music on? We're just going to spend some time letting God be God, as I know he will be. And I encourage you to get, and by the way, if you feel better walking around, if you feel better the front's open, if you feel better kneeling or laying, if you, whatever posture puts you in the best receiving mode, it might be pacing, it might be standing, it might be sitting, doesn't matter. You be free to do what you do. But focus on Jesus. And let him focus on you. Don't let silence bother you. Let him fill it. If you're here this morning and emotions begin to well up of any kind, whether it's laughter, crying, whatever, you feel free to release it, being aware of those around you. But he does want to meet us from front to back, left to right. Filling the room with his person. What are we doing? We're just tending to our inner man. as we read in the scripture, there's a banqueting table set before us. What do you want on that table? What do you want from that table? Communicate with him, spirit to spirit. If you've got a question, ask him. Listen for his answer. He intends to make himself real. You stay there. I'll give you the mic. I want you to share it. Stay there. Mary was just getting an impression I want her to share.
The Lord was just speaking to me that, as Pastor Bob said, what do you want on that table? And that people were thinking that I want this on the table. But you've always reacted to it. You've had an allergic reaction to it. You felt like you can't have that because it's always been something that has you've never been able to partake of for different reasons. It's not agreed with you. And the Lord, you know, you've reached for it before and it's never been able to be grasped by you. You haven't been able to take it in and receive it. And the Lord wants you to know that everything on that table, everything that He's put in your heart to desire is good. And you will not have a reaction to it, and you will not be able to eat it and receive what God has for you. But don't be afraid to go partake of that thing that you've tried before and has failed.
Amen. Taste of the Lord and see that He is good. I know what we just did is a bit unusual, especially for a church service. It's what the Bible calls waiting on the Lord, although there is a difference between Old Testament waiting and New Testament. In the New Testament, we're not waiting for God to do something. He already has. We're just experiencing it. In the Old Testament, you waited for God to do something from the outside. In the New Testament, we wait for Him to do it initially from the inside, and it affects the outside. But it is still very relevant simply to give Him time. The reason that we're doing this is because He wants us to take this home with us. He wants us to meet with Him in the secret place, wherever and whatever that looks like for us, with a full confidence that He will show up. And we grow and we train ourselves, and we grow in our ability to sense His presence. But He, in this day, so desires to make Himself real and tangible, and yes, to be experienced. I'm going to ask if the prayer teams will come up. Jesse's going to keep playing music softly, and we want to protect the atmosphere that's in this room. Where's the prayer teams? And don't be shy. There'll be some prayer going on here. If you want to, as Jesse's going to continue to play the music, if you want to soak in here, you feel free to do that. And if not, that's okay too. But please take your visiting outside in the lobby. There's coffee and fellowship. It's all good. Amen. Yes.
I got a word of knowledge for somebody. I got a word of knowledge for maybe a woman here. It's got a earache in the right ear. Maybe a ring in.
If that's you, Roy will be available to pray for you right over there. And that's simply what the Bible calls a word of knowledge. It's an impression that the Lord gives. Do you see or sense or anything you want to share? Okay, again, we dismiss you. Please, let's protect the sanctuary and this atmosphere.
I have a message from the Lord to share.
Okay, just a minute.
The Lord said to me, I am sending you my ultimate love. My love is a foundation of your life.
Amen. And that's for you personally as well as for us, Father. Let her know it. Yes. Yes, thank you for sharing that with us.